Thank you, Taylor and Becky. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 4 is where we're going to be here this morning. Mark chapter number 4, as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Mark. And hopefully you've enjoyed this study. This morning, going to look at some of the kingdom parables. Mark chapter number 4, we'll jump in verse number 21. Let's stand once you're there, out of respect for the word, give our legs a little bit of a stretch. We'll read through this passage, and then we'll jump right in. Of course, last week I had 4 points. Today, I'll only have 2, okay? So that's how it works out. You always got to average to 3. So, Mark chapter number 4, and verse number 21. Here's what it says, Mark 4, 21. And he, Jesus, of course, said unto them, these are the people that he was speaking the last parable to as well, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man had cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first a blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we look into these kingdom parables and we examine what the kingdom means. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful for your word, thankful that we can look at it and study it this morning. Give us understanding, give us strength, give us clarity, Father, as we examine your word. And Father, I pray that, as I mentioned earlier, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to live in light of the kingdom that we will one day live in. Lord, help us right now to be the kind of ambassador, the kind of citizen that we ought to be because of that kingdom. So in the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, really, these parables that we'll look at today, 4 or 3, depending on how you break them up, really coincide with the one we looked at last week, which is the parable of the sower and the soils. But nonetheless, I couldn't preach through all of them at one time. Okay? So I kind of broke them up. But we will refer back a little bit to what we talked about last week. These are parables that are discussing the kingdom of God. And it's even more clear in the book of Matthew when he says these parables are discussing the kingdom. But here in this passage certainly makes it clear. If you look at your handout, you see in Mark 4 and verse number 11, Jesus said this, or you could look just at a page over. Mark 4, 11, he says this, then he said to them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them which are without, all these things are done in parables. Speaking, of course, to disciples. So he's saying there's something that some people don't understand, but that we do. We know the mystery of the kingdom, but they don't. In verse number 26, he continues this idea and where we have the title from. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed on the ground. Verse 30, he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? So clearly here, Jesus is giving several parables to his disciples to illustrate, to explain, to expound on what the kingdom of God is like. Can I tell you, friends, we do live in a kingdom, don't we? We live in the kingdom of God, and we should live in light of that kingdom that we will one day have our full residence in. The Bible describes us as ambassadors here on this earth, ambassadors for God's kingdom. So what should our lives look like in light of the kingdom? First off, the first parable that we'll examine is the kingdom's revelation. Look at verse number 21 through 25. He gives the illustration of a candle. And I've gone and done the illustration of candles before. I've burnt the little thing, but since Daniel burnt some stuff already, I don't want to test my luck. So, but the illustration is of a candle. You've heard this illustration many times. Look at verse 21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? So what's the principle? He's saying, hey, some things are meant by their very nature to be revealed, not to be hid. And can I tell you, the reality of Christ's kingdom is one of those things. We should not be trying to hide God's kingdom. We should not be trying to minimize God's kingdom. Instead, we should be trying to proclaim God's kingdom. Number one, how should we live in light of the kingdom? Number one, we should proclaim it. Proclaim it. We need to be sharing the truth with people that need to hear it. This past week, if you followed any of my Facebook stuff, I've had an interesting week. Some of you may know that. You may know exactly what I mean when I say that. A couple weeks ago, I had posted something I didn't think would get really that much flack. I had posted that love is not proud. By the way, it's not. The Bible is very clear on that. Love is not proud, and I gave some Bible verses about that. And it seems like, I don't know. I don't know what on earth happened, but everyone lost their mind. And now it's been, I've had about 1,000 comments on my posts, and I have multiple people getting mad at us. I'm actually carrying a knife today. I'm ready. So if anyone tries to run up at me, then I'm prepared. Now I'm just laying it down, so you guys are, I'm susceptible now. Okay. Although, everyone else has guns, so it's fine. But it's been an interesting week. And frankly, I've had a lot of pastor friends, and they're like, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, I've had some pastor friends say, well, you know, if I was in your shoes, I'd just take it down. Because frankly, there have been some people that have said, you know, violent and very terrible things. And I've had some people say, just take it down. I've had some people say, well, keep going. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, frankly. But can I say, no matter what happens, there are some things that we just need to proclaim. We need to stand for truth. Is that not true, folks? We need to stand for truth. I'm not bashing on any one particular group. I'm not bashing on any sin in any way. As a matter of fact, I was clear in that post that everyone needs Jesus. Isn't that true? We all need Jesus. But the reality is that some things we have to proclaim. Let me remind you who Jesus is talking to. He's talking to disciples that just a little bit ago, he told them, hey guys, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through problems. But despite it all, don't take the light of the gospel and hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bed. No, you don't hide something that's meant to be revealed. You show it. You declare it. You announce it. And can I tell you, friends, in our rapidly decreasing and degrading world, we need to shine the light of the gospel. We are called to be salt. We're called to be light. So the reality is, we ought to be that to a world that needs it. You don't hide a light, you hold up a light. That's why we have lights up on the ceiling. And in the same way, you should not hide the truth of God's kingdom. You should proclaim it. Can I ask you, Christian friend, how are you doing with sharing the gospel? How are you doing with proclaiming the truth? Are you too embarrassed? Are you too shy? Are you too trying to keep it in? Oh, I don't want to make waves, preacher. Oh, preacher, I don't want someone to think this, that, or the other. Can I tell you, friend, when they go to hell, they'll think it anyways. Proclaim the truth of the gospel. It's meant to be proclaimed. The kingdom's revelation, number one. We proclaim it. Number two, we perceive it. Look at verse number 22. He says this, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Let's get back, if you can, to verse number 11 of chapter 4. This gives a little bit more clarity, and I'll explain what this means. I know last week I kind of jumped over it because I was dealing with a specific parable, so I gave the explanation, illustration. But verse number 11, he says this. Really, in earlier, he talked about how he began to speak in parables. Verse number 11, he says this. And he, Jesus, said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them which are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Now you say, preacher, doesn't that just totally reverse what you just said, that we should proclaim the truth of God? No. As a matter of fact, here's what he's saying. He's saying that we should have hearts to perceive, to understand, to grasp God's Word. The reality is the world doesn't understand God's Word. Is that not true? They don't understand, they don't appreciate, they don't value God's Word. I have put on my post a PS, something to the effect of, which by the way did not work at all, but something to the effect of, if you don't value God's Word, then just keep scrolling. They didn't listen. But nonetheless, the world doesn't perceive or understand or value God's Word, does it? But can I tell you, friends, if you're one of God's children, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, like we all should be, if you are, then you need to understand, you need to grasp, don't let something stay hid. Understand it, study it, apply it. That's what he's saying in verse 22. Look at it again. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that should come abroad. See, Jesus was giving parables, not just to go and to illustrate, but he was going, and these people, if you recall back to the end of chapter number 3, were denying, were rebelling against the Lord, and he was going and basically going and allowing them to misunderstand temporarily until the Holy Ghost came and made it clear. He's saying, hey, in a way, at some point, everything will be clear. And can I tell you, friends, that day is today. The Holy Spirit convicts and reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, but it also, in our lives, guides us into all truth because it speaks of Christ. Can I tell you, friends, if there are parts of the Bible that you don't understand, that's not the way God intended it to be. God wants you to know God's Word. I know that there are parts that might be hard to study. There might be parts that you look at and you say, well, preacher, what on earth does that mean? By the way, that's why you have a preacher. Ask me, I'm glad to help. Believe me, I'll give you way more than you want to know. But the reality is this, friends, we have to grasp, we have to understand God's Word, because we can't share what we don't know. Number one, proclaim God's Word. Number two, perceive, understand God's Word. Number three, I can't do a three still. Number three, ponder God's Word. Look at verse number 23, can we? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. How many of you have ears today? Good, well then you're supposed to listen to that. Verse number 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. So he's basically saying this. He's saying, hey, if you have an ear, then you need to listen to this. And then he says, be careful what you're listening to. Can I tell you, Christian friends, we need to be careful what we listen to, don't we, in our lives? Yes? Yes? Amen. Everything that claims to be of God is not of God. Would you not agree with that? Amen. Every preacher that claims to preach from God's Word is not preaching from God's Word. Would you not agree with that? Amen. There are false teachers in the world, yes? Amen. And the reality is we have to ponder, we have to consider, we have to examine whether it's really from the Lord or not. Take heed. Pay attention. First off, listen purposefully. You have to listen carefully and consider these things. Take heed what you hear. Listen purposefully. You have ears to hear. Let him hear. Verse 23, I jumped over it, but the idea of if you have ears to hear, let you hear, is this idea. Hey, you can hear, right? But hear to obey. Would you not agree that there's a difference between just hearing something and hearing and trying to listen? Yes? I have four kids, right? You know where this is going. Sometimes my kids hear things, but they don't hear to listen. Would you not agree with that? Right? Esther went downstairs, so I'll use her as an example. Sometimes I'll tell Esther and Anna, they share a room. I'll tell Esther and Anna, Esther, you need to clean your room. Right? Now, here's what Esther and Anna hear in cleaning your room. I need to kind of partially pick up some of the stuff so there can be a path to my bed. That's what they hear when I say clean the room. Right? That is not what I mean when I say clean the room. Would you not agree with that? Right? When I say clean the room, I mean I want it clean. Right? So what I've gotten to do with Esther and Anna is they go and they say, Daddy, my room's all clean. I said, is it clean the way I would want it clean? Well, no. Or this, let me go check. We're just up there. You know what it looks like. But don't we do that in our lives sometimes? Yes? Someone opens the Bible, or maybe we read in our own devotions, or we hear it, or listen to it, you know, with different streaming abilities, or what have you. We go and we hear God's Word, and we know it, we've heard it, but we kind of get it just enough to where we think that God won't be upset about it. Right? We kind of toe the line. We make the path to our bed, so to speak. We don't clean up everything. Because, I mean, we don't want to be big. We just do a little. Can I tell you, friends? We have a citizenship in heaven, friends. If you're a child of God, you all with me here, folks? Amen. One day you will be living, you will be walking on streets of gold, you'll be living in the mansion, you'll be with Jesus. One day you will have all that. Let's have ears to hear and hearts to obey. Listen purposefully. Number two, listen carefully. Take heed. Pay attention. Number three, listen actively. Verse number 24 is interesting. Continue on verse number 24. He said to them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet or give out, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Here's what that means. The more you listen, the more you'll understand. Can I say that one more time? The more you listen, the more you'll understand. Have you ever been, maybe when you first got saved, or maybe even now, you go and you're reading through a passage and you're like, preacher, what on earth does that mean? Or you go through and you're reading something and you're like, God, I don't understand this. You been there? And you're like, yes. How do you been there? And you're like, raise your hand. Good, the rest of your liars. Good, thank you. I've been there in my life. You go and you're like, man alive, I do not get what this passage means. Here's what Jesus is saying here. The more you listen to God's Word, the more you'll understand of God's Word. Let me say it this way. 1 Corinthians says it this way. The carnal, the fleshly person cannot understand the Bible because these things are spiritually discern. Meaning, you can understand the Bible if the Spirit reveals the Bible.
Amen.
Does that make sense? Now, you can look up the words and you can understand some of the concepts. You could go and study the Greek and the Hebrew. You can know all the things. You can parse and diagram. But can I tell you, friends, until you actively, deliberately choose to apply and listen to God's Word, will you ever begin to really understand God's Word? Until you get into God's Word and you decide to measure it upon yourself, and until you decide to hear and to hear more and more and more, will you ever truly grasp what the Word says? Can I tell you, friends, we need to listen actively. When God's Word is preached, when you open the Bible, when you listen to God's Word, when you're driving, I know we have some people that they think, well, I drive trucks or I do this stuff. When you're listening to God's Word, whatever it is, you and I have got to actively go and say, God, what do I need to change in my life? Yeah, the Bible was not written for a textbook so we can impress people. The Bible was not written so we can know all the facts for Jeopardy when the Bible category shows up. The Bible was written so we can actively change. Hear and listen. Listen purposefully. Listen carefully. Listen actively. Number four, listen responsibly. Look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he, catch it, he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Here's what this is saying. If you don't listen and apply God's word, you know what God says? God says, then eventually you'll be blinded enough to just keep going on with where you're at. Why do we have invitations in our sermons here? You know why? Because I am deathly concerned that a lot of Christians listen, hear, and become hardened and continue on, and that which they had is gone. Y'all with me here, folks? They get taken away even what they have. Is that not the reality of your life? Have you seen it in your life? Where you go and the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore? The things you used to get convicted by, you're no longer convicted by? You become cold, become calloused. As the church in Laodicea become lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot anymore. You're just kind of average. Everything's just kind of settled down. You're not excited about the things of God. You don't even remember the last time God convicted you or challenged you about something in your life. Everything's just kind of average. You know why? Because you haven't listened and you haven't applied. Listen responsibly, congregation. Listen and consider. Because every time you hear God's word, mark it down. When you hear God's word, God wants you to change something. It might be that you need to change from a sin. It might be that you need to change to do what more what's right. It might be that you need to be more convicted, take a further step, pursue, proclaim. You need to make a difference in some way. Can I tell you, friends, we're responsible every time we hear the word of God. The Bible's very clear that one day we will give account of our lives. And I believe with all, every fiber of my being from this passage and others, that we will give account of every message, of every time we open God's Word, of every time that the Holy Spirit pricked us, convicted us, said, hey, you need to change this. And we said, no. Kingdom's revelation. Proclaim it. Perceive it. Ponder it. Number two, the kingdom is reception. Two parables that we're going to kind of put together here. First off, the parable of the growing seed, verse 26 through 29. Then the parable of the mustard seed. Look at it, first off, verse number 26. And he, Jesus, said, so there's another parable, so is the kingdom of God, as a man that should cast seed into the ground. You say, wait a second, preacher, isn't this a parable he just taught? Yeah, it kind of is. He's going back to the same illustration that he talked about just a bit before with the parable of the sower and the seed. He's saying, hey, guys, let's extend this a little bit further. The kingdom of God is like seed that's cast into the ground. Verse number 27. Man cast seed in the ground, verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. What's he saying? He's saying, first, there's a delay sometimes when we share the kingdom. Would you not agree with that? How many of you, the first time you heard the gospel, you received it instantly? How many of you, that's you? Anybody? The first time I heard the gospel, I received it. Anybody here? Not one person. You know what that tells me? Sometimes there's a delay in people receiving it. Would you not agree with that? Would you not agree? Yes? You know what we do sometimes, though, as Christians? We go out on visitation. Right? You knock on a door. No thanks, I'm not interested. I see it. Literally, we go out, and by the end, everyone's like, ooh. Preacher, I've been persecuted for my faith today. The obligatory Southern accent. I've been persecuted for my faith today. Somebody said they weren't interested in the track I wanted to give them. Preacher, I need you to pray for me. Can I tell you, friend, there's a delay. Can I say it this way? Paul says this to the Corinthian church. Paul might walk, plant, Apollos, another preacher, might water, but God's the one that gives the increase. Amen. Can I say, sometimes there's a delay in sharing the gospel. Keep sharing it. Keep proclaiming it. We have people here, and they've been praying for family members that are unsaved, family members that are far away from the Lord. Some of these folks have been praying for as long as I've been here, for over 5 years. Been praying for family members, been praying for people that are away from the Lord. Can I tell you something? Keep going. Give an illustration. A couple of years ago, I was talking to Ethel earlier about the garden that I planted a couple of years ago. I had a garden out. You can see where all the weeds are, a big pile of weeds with a box around it. That's where the garden was. And so I had a garden. We planted it. Esther was, at this point, pretty young, and the other kids, too. But we planted everything, and Esther loves tomatoes. She's, like, addicted to tomatoes, right? She could eat tomatoes all day long. But we planted some tomato plants, and she was excited about the tomatoes. But we go, and we plant the tomato plants. She's pumped up. She's like, yeah, tomatoes, yeah. Right? The next day, no joke, she comes up to me. She's like, Dad, do you think tomatoes are enough? I got these little, you know, like the cheapo, you know, the cheapest ones you can get from Lowe's, right, brother? You know, the cheapest one. I didn't know about your nursery, but the cheapest ones we can get, right? They were like $3 or something, right? And I planted, and she's convinced the first day we got tomatoes. And I had to explain to Esther, no. See, when you plant something, you got to wait. It doesn't come right. Can I tell you, friends, whether it's your own spiritual maturity, whether it's you sharing the gospel, the fruit doesn't come immediately. You got to wait. There's a delay sometimes. Number one, the delay of the kingdom's reception. Number two, the invisibility of the kingdom's reception. Verse number 27, it closes with this phrase, the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now, this passage is not saying that the farmer has no idea how seeds grow. Okay? If you're a farmer, I would think you would try and learn that. Right? You would try and learn, hey, seeds need water, and seeds need good soil, and seeds need things. Would you not agree with that? Yes? So he's not saying here that the farmer is dumb in some way. He's not saying that at all. What's he saying? He's saying that you don't know how good the fruit is going to produce. You're blind to it. If you look out here, I live right there, okay? So if you look out here, you can see three trees that I planted, kind of in the front yard. I have in the middle, I have a peach tree, it's producing grape. I should have some peaches this year, actually, which is surprising. On either side is a plum tree. Now, on the side closest to the driveway, this tree, just one day, I went out there, and it was dead. Which was, like, super fun. Right? We've been watering it, we've been taking care of it, we've been trying to fertilize it, all these things, but we went out there, and it just straight up died. No idea why. Start researching it. Maybe it has some kind of fungus or something. I don't know. It's still there. I'm just hoping that it kind of magically comes back to life, which is probably not going to happen. What's it saying? What's this passage saying? He's saying when the farmer goes and he casts the seed, he doesn't know what will produce. Back in Bible times, they didn't have the efficient seeding that we have today with machinery. They would just take seed in a bag and they would just cast it, like we talked about last week. And of course, the seed would fall in different types of soil. And the farmer didn't know what would produce. He was blind to those things. He didn't know how the soil worked. He didn't have soil tests in that sense. Sometimes seeds fell among thorns, or sometimes seeds fell among the thistles. As we looked at last time, can I tell you, friends, we're blind to how the Word will produce fruit. But can I tell you? We're still supposed to share the Word. Amen. Sometimes the Word falls among a solidified heart, among that wayside that goes and is so stamped down that the devil immediately takes it away. But that doesn't mean you stop sharing. You keep proclaiming. You keep announcing. You keep telling people about the Word, about the kingdom. Sometimes the seed does fall among a shallow heart that it just has a little bit of soil, but it has no root in itself. And can I tell you, friend, we can't control that. But what we can control is that we will share the word. We'll continue to proclaim it. We'll continue to announce it. Why? Because the word can and will produce fruit. Sometimes it falls among the stuffed heart, the one that has the thorns and the thistles and is choked out by the cares of this world, is choked out by everything that just goes on in life. But can I tell you, that doesn't mean that we stop sharing. You see, we don't know the heart. We're blind to it. But we do know the seed. I'm reminded back when I first got saved. I got saved at the age of 13. When I got saved, I got excited about serving God. But as perhaps some of you may know how things go, eventually, at that point when I first got saved, you know, I had like super faith because I believed God could actually do something, right? Then you get saved for a while and everyone tells you, hey, don't believe God can do something because He won't. Is that not true? I remember after a few years, I was probably 16 or so, we went and passing out tracts, passing out flyers and things. We were inviting people to some of that. I don't recall. I was in the mall, actually, and was passing out tracts. And I think it was actually after our outreach. We would have outreach on Wednesdays, and then we'd have lunch at the mall. They had a food court. Malls don't even exist anymore, but we had a food court. So we'd have lunch at the food court, and then we'd go to church on Wednesday night. I remember we were at the food court, and I had in my pocket, I think it was a youth revival. I had in my pocket a bunch of handouts. Going through the mall, and there, I remember sitting there on the floor outside of some store, I don't recall, there was a goth, right? You remember goth, right? She had like black hair, her face was like white, like she'd never seen the sun, right? She had like black makeup, she had like these dark black, you know, nails and like, you know, chains, like she just broke out of jail, you know? Like skulls and all this stuff all over. And I remember this. I distinctly remember this. I was probably 16. I remember I went and I'd just been inviting teens all day long to this event that we were having, this revival or whatever. And I remember thinking, well, I won't give it to her because she'll never come. You ever been there before?
Amen.
I'm not going to witness to that person. They'll never come. They'll never listen. They'll never receive. You been there? There's no point in trying. Right? But you won't receive it. I remember I went and, you know, had lunch with my friends and all that, or dinner with my friends, and went off to youth group, and I still can picture the girl. I couldn't get her out of my mind. You know why? Because that's not how we as Christians should be.
Right.
Go with it here, folks. We don't make the choice of whether people can or will receive Christ. He does. Mm-hmm. He's the one that brings the increase. We share the truth. Mm-hmm. Friends, don't ever get to the point where you think that you are the one that makes the choice. It's God. We don't know what will produce. We don't know what does that. But can I tell you, the reality is all our job is to share the word. Share the word. Go everywhere. No, what did the early church do? They got persecuted, and everywhere they went, they shared the word. That's what the Bible says, right? They shared it with Gentiles. They shared it with Jews. They shared it with the people from Athens, the philosophers. They shared it with the religious leaders. No matter where they went, they shared the word because they didn't know what would produce. They didn't care because it wasn't their job. It's the Lord's job. Can I tell you, friends, we've gotten too much to the point where we're scientists about sharing the gospel. No, just share the gospel. The delay, the invisibility, we don't know, but God does. Number three, the progression, verse number 28. For the ear bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. What's Jesus saying here? Obviously, we know how plants grow. So what's the point of this phrase? I believe this is what Jesus is saying. There's a progression in someone's growth. Would you not agree with that? Someone that just got saved, I am not expecting the level of fruit as I would expect someone that's been saved for 20 years. Right? Am I making sense? Someone that just got saved, I'm expecting them to get over their addictions, to get over their struggles, to start trusting God. That's what I'm expecting. Would you not agree with that? Yes, folks? Amen. On the same token, people that have been saved for a while, oh, pastor's getting to meddling. Right? People that have been saved for a while, I expect them to be producing fruit. Why? Because something that's healthy should be growing. You with me, folks? Can I say it this way? If you're still struggling with the same sin you struggled with a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, there's a problem there because you're not progressing. Am I making sense? You're not growing. If you're not producing fruit, then there's a problem there. Cross-reference the message last week. Right? Then you have some issue. Then maybe the devil's just taking the word away before you apply it. Maybe you're gone and you've got just such a shallow ground because you're trusting in yourself. You have no root in yourself. You need to get to relying on Jesus. Maybe you've gotten to the point where everything else is crowding out the Lord. Hey, get that stuff out and you'll produce fruit. Can I tell you, friends? I don't know what it is, but can I say, good fruit progresses. It grows. And if you can look at your life and say, I don't see growth over the last year. I don't see growth over the last 5 years. You all with me, folks? I don't see growth over the last 10 years. I see no growth in my life. Then there is a problem there because good fruit produces. And by the way, good seed produces and God's Word is good seed. Progression. Finally, real quickly, then we'll close. Besides. Verse 30 through 32. We went through this parable at length when we were going through parables, so we'll go through it quickly here. Verse number 30. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. Of course, he's been using this illustration of seed. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it's sown, it groweth up. Becometh greater than all herbs, shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, the gospel, it may seem insignificant to many. I have a lot of people that this past week have been mocking everything about the gospel on my page. They've gone through every Christian post I have, and you'll see laughing emojis on every single one. Why? Because they view the simplicity of faith in Jesus Christ as something that's insignificant. Something that doesn't matter in our world. Can I tell you, it's not. There's a seeming insignificance to the world about the gospel. But you take that little grain of mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds. You take that little grain and you plant it in the ground, then it produces a great tree. So much so that everything, the fowls of the earth in this passage, in the book of Matthew, it talks about all the animals of the earth go and shade itself. You see, it is seeming insignificant to the world, but there's a surprising side that comes from something so small. Can I tell you, there are thousands, millions of people around the world that have trusted the simplicity that is Christ. And there are people in our community that will do the same if we just share it. The significant value. There is value that's found in the kingdom. In verse number 32, it says, the fowls of the air lodge under the shadow of it. Can you picture the idea? There's this little tree. Someone, one day, they took this tiny little seed, they planted it into the ground, and it produced this great tree, so much so that all the animals are gathered around. Why? Because there's value that's found in the kingdom. Not just value for the soul that's saved, but value for everyone. I believe in a Judeo-Christian work ethic. I believe in biblical foundations of our nation. Would you not agree with that, folks? I believe that our nation has been blessed by God. I don't believe our nation will always be blessed by God, but I certainly believe our nation has been blessed by God. We have the privileges and the great freedom that we have today, in part because some people built this kingdom around, or this nation around God's kingdom. But can I say that won't last forever? That's not a guarantee for all perpetual eternity. God blessed our nation because we went with God. But by the same token, Genesis 12 is clear. Those that go against God, God will not bless. You say, preacher, how can we make a difference? How can we change? You know how we change? By sharing the simple seed. By sharing the seed of the Word. It may not always be successful. Sometimes people will reject it. But can I tell you, friends, it's not our responsibility to go and strategically plant every seed. It's our responsibility to scatter it out. To share it. To proclaim it. Where you go, people should know you're a Christian. What you say, what you post, since that's been a topic today, people should know you're a Christian. Not being mean, not being hurtful, not being bashy in any sense, but sharing the simplicity that is Christ. Can I say it again, friends? We are ambassadors. We are citizens of heaven. And we are sent to this kingdom, to this earth. We are sent to this place to be ambassadors, to be representatives for God. A high calling, to be sure. A high calling to go and to pronounce, to announce the kingdom of Jesus Christ. How are you dealing with it? Are you sharing the truth of Jesus to a world that needs it? I'm not saying once this last year. That's planting one seed. I'm saying constantly, consistently. Do people know you're a Christian because you are always talking about it? Do you regularly share the good news of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you grabbed a tract and shared it with someone? When was the last time you went to a restaurant? I know you don't go to restaurants. When was the last time you gave your server the gospel? When was the last time you personally pondered and considered what your king wanted you to do? Friends, this is God's kingdom. How are we living in life?